Thank you, Pastor Noah. Thank you, worship team. I just want to welcome you again. Man, I love that we get to jump into God's Word today. And my prayer for you guys is at the end of the service, you'll take some kind of next step with Jesus. Speaking of next steps, I failed to mention this last week, but we have a brand new Next Steps booth in the back. I want to give a big thanks to Bobby Spillman and Brian Kennedy for making that. Can we give God praise? Thank you, dudes. A few years ago, we bought one that was like this little portable temporary thing, and it was temporary for like 5 years. And so thank you so much, guys. I am praying that every single Sunday, people make their way back to the Next Steps booth as God lays on their heart whatever next step it is they need to take. It may be placing your faith in Jesus. That next step may be joining this church or getting baptized or growing as a believer. Whatever it is, we want to help you take that next step. And we do. We really want to see people take steps of faith with Jesus. And really, it all starts with pointing people to Jesus. That's our church's mission. Will you say that with me? Pointing people to Jesus. Let's try it again. Pointing people to Jesus. You know, you're here today very likely because somebody pointed you to Jesus. Very few people just wander into a church, you know, thinking it's, Rudy's barbecue or something. Like, hey, I'm just going to get something to eat here. I don't see any sweet tea. I don't see any barbecue. No, most people are in church today. You're probably in church today because somebody helped you come to know the one that they love, the Jesus that they love. And for a lot of us, it was your mom or your grandma. They played a big role in you coming to faith in Jesus. And the reason is because she loves you. They love you. That person who pointed you to Jesus, they loved you. And they knew the absolute best thing that could happen in your life was for you to meet the Jesus that they had met. The absolute best thing that could happen in your life is for you to love the one that they loved. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is pointing those we love to the one we love. Now, this is Mother's Day, and this is a message on Mother's Day, but it's not just for mothers. Every single one of us, God has placed people in our lives that he wants us to care for, that he wants us to point to Jesus. Now, obviously, if you're a mom or a grandmom or an aunt or whatever, you know, you've got that role, that nurturing, loving, but every single one of us have people that God has placed in our life to care for. Neighbors, friends, relatives, family members, people we go to school with, people we work with, we're on a team or a club or a hobby, whatever, we've all got people that we can point to Jesus, that we can point those we love to the ones we love. And so today, we're going to be looking at a few interactions between Mary and Jesus, between a mother and son. And it's really interesting, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, don't have a lot of stories about Mary and Jesus. There's only a handful of them, but we're going to look at three of them today. And I think we're going to see some really neat interactions that I think encourage us and show us ways that we can point people to Jesus. And like I said, you don't have to be a mom to love somebody. You don't have to be a mom to want to see the absolute best thing happen in someone's life. Every single one of us can point those we love to the one we love. All right, so if you have your outline, if you want to pull that out or pull it up online, the first thing you can do, point number one is this, is you can tell people about Jesus. You can tell people about Jesus. One of the most loving things that you and I can do for someone is simply to tell them about Jesus. Simply tell them about our experience with Jesus. Simply tell them about how we came to know Jesus, how he's changed our lives, what a big deal he is to us, just to tell them what we've experienced as a result of Jesus being in our life, you know? Think for a moment about what Mary could tell people about Jesus. Think about the stories she could tell. You know, you go back to Luke 1 and Matthew 1, you get the angel's announcement that Mary and Joseph are going to have a baby. And, you know, and he tells them that Mary's going to miraculously conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, and they're going to name his name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. It's another version of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Let's read Luke 1, 29 to 33. That's the angel's announcement to Mary. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. So the angel just told her, you're going to be with child. In verse 30, the angel says, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And then in Matthew 1, we see a similar story where the angel gives a similar thing, announcement to Joseph. Joseph's thinking about divorcing Mary when he finds out she's pregnant. But as he considered this, verse 20, as he considered this, Matthew 1, verse 20, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so Mary and Joseph learn about Jesus coming into their life, and they learn that he is going to be the Savior of the world. Now we fast forward 9 months, and you get to Luke chapter 2. I don't know if we have it on the screen. I may just summarize it here for you, but it's the night that Jesus was born. And so shepherds come to the manger to see Jesus, and they probably told Mary about the angels that made this big announcement, this whole heavenly host of angels that made this huge announcement about peace on earth and God being with men through Jesus. I mean, can you just imagine what an amazing night that had to be for Mary, you know, to have the shepherds show up and they go out and tell everybody and people come to see, and this one kid comes by and rocks a drum solo for some reason, and you know, and it's just this amazing night. That's not in the Bible, but it's a cute little story, you know, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. And so, you know, it's just this amazing thing. And can you just imagine what was going through Mary's head 9 months later, experiencing this, saying, you know, this is just one more confirmation of what the angel told her, you know, what the shepherds you know, tell her and tell the whole town. It's just one more confirmation that, hey, this Jesus really is the Savior of the world. And then you get to Matthew chapter 2. Sometime later, Mary and Joseph get a visit from some guys, some dudes bringing gifts. The Bible calls them wise men or magi from the east. And traditionally, we think there's three of them because it says they brought three gifts of gold and a special incense and myrrh. And so these are valuable gifts. These are kingly gifts. These are gifts involved in worship, some even involved in sacrifice. Imagine what was going through Mary's head putting all this together. You know, this is just one more indication that Jesus really is who the angel said he is. And maybe what the angel told her and Joseph was true. And maybe Jesus really is going to be the one to save people from their sins. And, you know, Mary definitely had some amazing experiences that she could tell people about Jesus. Well, one of the most loving things you and I can do is we can share with people our experiences with Jesus. We can share with people how Jesus has come into our life and the change that has made. You know, what we can do with people is just point them to Jesus by saying, "Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but let me tell you about what Jesus has done for me." And we call that sharing our what? Starts with a T, ends with testimony. There you go. Y'all are smart, you know? For me, I was 16 years old, and I've been going to church for a couple of years. I've been doing all the stuff that church people did. I went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I showed up to church, I looked like a Christian, I acted like a Christian, I sang like a Christian, I talked like a Christian, but I wasn't a Christian. But when I was 16 years old, something that a guest preacher said challenged me, made me realize there had never been a time in my life where I had prayed and placed my faith in Jesus to save me. I was trying to get to heaven on my own effort, and I was no closer to getting to heaven than if I tried to jump there. And so that night I went home and I sat down on the edge of my bed and I prayed. And I said, "God, I'm tired of trying to live for myself. I'm ready to place my faith in Jesus. I'm sorry for my sins. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, that you raised him back to life, and that if I do what that preacher said, if I place my faith in Jesus to save me, then I'm going to get to go to heaven one day, and I'm going to get to have you in my life right now. And so that's what I want." And that's when I got saved. Now, what did I just do right then? I just told you about Jesus. I just shared my testimony with you. I didn't time it, but it was probably close to about a minute or so. Every single one of you, if you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower, you have a testimony. You have a way that you can share with people, "Hey, here's how Jesus has changed my life. Here's what Jesus means to me. Here's who Jesus is to me." Let me ask you something. Who do you know who needs to hear your testimony about placing your faith in Jesus? We all know people who are sinners, don't we? If you don't, then someone's thinking about you right now. But we all know people who are sinners. We all know people who need to hear about Jesus. Would you do this right now? If you got your outline out, would you just write down the name of one or two people you can think of, not being judgmental, not looking down on them, any of that stuff, but just one or two people you can think of. You say, "You know what? I bet that person needs Jesus." Would you just write their name down? Maybe it's in your notes. Maybe you got the app up. Maybe you have to use it on the back of the connection card. But just write their name down. And now, would you pray? Would you pray today and this week that God would give you a chance to share your testimony with them? Just as simply as I did just a moment ago. It may just be coming out of the closet and revealing that you're a Christian. You might be a secret Christian at work and nobody knows, you know? It's like, wow, you know, she doesn't cuss as much as everybody else, or they don't go to parties and drink like everybody else. I wonder what's different about them. And you may finally just come out and say, you know what, I'm a Christian. And they're like, oh, you know, and I knew there was something about you. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But some people just need to know that you believe in Jesus. Others, maybe they know you believe in Jesus, but they've never heard how much Jesus means to you and the change he's made in your life. Would you pray this week that you get an opportunity to? And you say, oh, well, I may lose my job. Okay. They may lose their life and go to hell. What's more important? And God will give you another job with around a whole bunch of other lost people. And you may lose that too. And the next one and the next one and the next one. But you know what you won't lose? You won't lose the joy of knowing that you got to plant the seed of the gospel in people's lives. Tell people about Jesus. What's number one? There we go. All right, number two, teach people to listen to Jesus. Number two, teach people to listen to Jesus. We want to tell people about Jesus, but we don't want to end there. Becoming a Christian, believing in Jesus, doesn't end with just believing in Jesus, okay? That's just the start. It's not the finish line. As Christians, we want to live in obedience to Christ's commands. And it's not because we have to, even though we're commanded to, you know. It's because it's good for us. It's because the life that God offers when we live in obedience to Christ's commands is so much better than life on our own, life with us in charge. And so another thing that we do to point those we love to the one we love is just help them get to the place where they listen to what Jesus says. That's what we see in this next interaction with Mary and Jesus. We're going to fast forward about 30 years. Jesus is all grown up. He's got some disciples following him. He's about to start his public ministry of preaching repentance and calling people back to faith in God and walking with God and talking about the kingdom of God, but he's not quite ready to start just yet. They're at a wedding. It's probably a family wedding because Jesus is there and his mom's there. And so John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, it says, the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. And the wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, that is not our problem, Jesus replied. Now, your translation may say, woman, that's not our problem. He's not being like, listen, lady, that's not at all. I like this translation. It is very much a more affectionate response. Dear woman, okay? If he just said, woman, I know if I said to my mom, woman, listen to me, I'd wake up next week, all right? So anyway, so Jesus says, dear woman, that is not our problem, Jesus replied. My time has not yet come, meaning my time of starting my public ministry hasn't yet come. Verse 5, I love this, but his mother told the servant, she just ignores what Jesus just said, looks to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you. Just do whatever he tells you. I love this story. It goes on to say that the servants did what Jesus said. They went and got a bunch of jars of wine, big jars of water, and they brought it to Jesus, and he blessed it. And when they took it out, when the head wine steward took it out, it was the best wine ever. Now listen, the point of this story is not about good wine. Some of y'all are like, preacher, that's my favorite story too. I love that, you know. That is not the point of the story. The point of this story, the bigger point here, is that Mary knew that if these servants would just do what Jesus said, if they would just listen to what he said and do what he said, that they would get to see something amazing, that things would be so much better for them and everyone around them. And guys, a big part of us pointing people we love to the one we love is, yes, tell them about Jesus, but also teach them to listen to Jesus. Help them to understand that when you do what Jesus says, when you listen to his words, his commands, and live them out, life is gonna be so much better for you. You know, when we, in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we have the Great Commission where Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always. What Jesus is saying there is he's telling his disciples to teach people to learn what he's taught and to live with God's word as the authority in their lives. Guys, that's one of our values here at our church is biblical authority, that our lives are centered on God's word. Our lives are centered on God's word. Would you say that with me? Our lives are centered on God's word. If your life is centered on anything else, you are off track. You are off center. You are not headed in the right direction. Our lives must be centered on God's word. And Jesus tells us why. I don't know if you have it. I have it in my notes, but Matthew 7, you can write this down. Matthew 7, 24, and a few verses after, Jesus tells us why our lives need to be centered on God's word. Therefore, there it is right there. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and poured. Rose and the winds blew and pounded on that house, yet it didn't collapse because it was on the foundation of the rock. Verse 26 says what? But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the rivers rose and the winds blew and pounded that house and it collapsed. And it collapsed with a great crash. And I love what verse 28 says. When Jesus finished talking, the crowds were astonished at what he was saying. Jesus says, when you build your life on him, when you build your life on his word, when you build your life on listening to him, you're building your life on the solid rock foundation. Now notice, storms will still come, but the house is going to stand because you've built your life on Jesus. You're listening to what he says and you're doing what he says. So that's why we teach people to listen to Jesus. That's why we build our lives on his word. That's why we point people to Jesus, because it is good for them. And then lastly, number three. So we tell people about Jesus. We teach people to listen to Jesus. And then number three, we pray for people to surrender fully like Jesus. We pray for people to surrender fully like Jesus. This last interaction that we see between Jesus and his mother, he knows that he's about to die. And so he looks at her and he looks at John, the disciple, and knowing that he's about to fulfill God's plan, he makes sure that his mother's going to be taken care of. John 19, 25 to 30, says, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, talking about John, he said, dear woman, here is your son, pointing to John. And he said to this disciple, here is your mother. And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. And Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill scripture, he said, I'm thirsty. And a jar of sour wine was sitting there. So they soaked a sponge in it and put it on a hyssop branch and held it to his lips. And when Jesus tasted it, he said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. For Mary, this had to be just the most unimaginable thing to endure, to watch your son beaten, humiliated, tortured, and then nailed to a cross and die. But knowing who he was, knowing that he's the Son of God, knowing that this is why he came, to be the Savior of the world, what the angel said 33 years prior, that he would save the world from his sin, and in order to do that, there had to be a sacrifice. Knowing that he now was fulfilling the mission his father sent, and he did this willingly. Nobody took his life. He gave his life. There had to be some comfort in that, knowing that Jesus was fully surrendered to the Father's will. And for those we love, the most loving thing that we can do is pray that they would come to know Jesus, that they would listen to Jesus, and that they would get to the place where they are fully surrendered like Jesus. That they surrender to God's call on their life, that they submit their hearts and yield themselves to his will for their lives. Now, I can tell you more about it in the application time, or I can let you hear from somebody who got to experience it very recently. I can let you see what it looks like in someone's life who lived that out very recently, what it means to be fully surrendered and the joy that comes from that. So would you guys welcome Dr. Hannah Shy as she comes to the stage and shares with us about her most recent mission trip to Papua New Guinea. Thank you, Hannah.
Oh, man. Hi, y'all. My name's Hannah, like Pastor Ashley said. For those of you who don't know me, from Tucson, but I'm currently training in family medicine out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'll be done in about 6 weeks. As part of my residency program, we have the opportunity to go overseas and do mission work. So I just spent the last month-ish, 3 weeks, in at Kujip Nazarene Hospital in the highlands of Papua New Guinea. For those of you who don't know where that is, it's a tiny little island north of Australia. And it, gosh, the words that I, the words are hard. It was definitely an experience. I don't know if anything I could have possibly done would have prepared me for what I saw. So first off, the flight itself was like 36 hours or something stupid. Like, it was ridiculous. So into Moresby, into Hagen, and then an hour drive to Kujip. It's a big referral hospital, so every bad thing basically in the province and in the surrounding provinces comes here. So we saw a lot of bad. Some of the things included chop wounds, which are like machetes, because violence is a big thing there. There's a lot of domestic violence. The number of people that I sewed up was a lot. There were also very sick people. One in particular, when you're on, when you work in the pediatrics ward, there's a lot of malnutrition, and there's a lot, and it's all social. It's moms who get pregnant again and don't want to breastfeed their kid anymore, or they're done with that kid and they move on, and grandma has to take care of them. It's, you know, they're past that point, they're 7-8 months old, and they don't have the means to provide food because there's 7-8 kids. There was one little girl in particular who, birthdays are not a thing, so was probably about a year old, looked 4 months old. Malnutrition, became hypoxic, so wasn't breathing well without oxygen, was not feeding well, needed a tube down her nose to take feeds. And when I saw this kid early on in the week, I said, I don't know what's going on, but this is a very sick child. And we had already done a lot of workup. And the next step in the workup there, because of the types of infections that you see, is a lumbar puncture or a spinal tap. That's what everyone here knows it as. You stick the needle in your back and you pull some fluid off. So we did that. And this kid didn't respond at all. This kid laid there, limp, as I stuck a needle in between her spinous processes. And the kid was sick. I mean, that's what I have for you. Sick, sick, sick. And the whole time I sat there going, what am I missing? What are we doing wrong? What else is there that we could be doing? Because in the United States, there's always something else. There's always someone else. There's always another medicine to try. There's always another lab to order. There's always another specialist to consult. And there isn't. It's you. It's you and your brain and maybe one or two lab tests. And it wasn't until I spoke to a couple of our attendings who I was working with throughout the week where they said, you know, we're doing everything right. And one of the lessons that you learn here is you do everything right and you do everything that you can and you still don't get the outcome that you want. I left the pediatric ward after that week and she was still alive, barely. I mean, I won't get into it. The day before I left Kujip, I poked my head in to the peds ward and the kid was not there. And I am not naive enough to think that that kid got better. And all that to say, that wasn't the worst thing I saw. It wasn't the craziest thing I saw. But it hit home the most, I think. And but through that, one thing that I learned that I feel like I should have learned multiple times in my life is the Lord is gracious and the Lord is good. And even in the heartbreak and even in the bad, because when I tell you that this place broke my heart in all the right ways, I was talking to our attending, who's one of our alumni, who I was just in tears, I think, every single day about what do I do about this kid? What do I do about this mom that's bleeding in front of me? What do I do about this, you know, this 20-year-old who comes in whose heart's as big as her chest and she doesn't even make it to the floor. She died in the ER in her dad's arms. Like, what do I do about that? And he said, you know, this place will break your heart, and that's a good thing. Because, you know, one, you're here for the right reasons, and two, you know, this is what we do, and the Lord is good despite that. And so one of the other things that I thought was really cool, we got the opportunity to go to a couple different churches. I went to a bush church, which was kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and they speak pidgin, which you can pick up after probably a couple of months, but I wasn't there that long, and so I had no idea what was going on. But the second church we went to was the one right across the street from the hospital, and so this is the chapel that we would go to every Monday before we start. But the church that we went to, they were in pidgin and in English, and so they started singing, and I took a video of it. And it should come up here in just a minute. And I want you to listen. And we sing that song here a lot. I always think of Bridget singing that song. Always. And so I was sitting there and I was like, faces are different. The building is different. The everything else around me is different, and we are worshiping the Lord the same way. And so I don't know where I was going with that, other than this was an experience unlike anything else. And in the heart and in the heartbreak, I still saw the Lord in so many ways and in so many people and in so many instances. And so I mean, my little plug for missions, if you've never done one, this is the little plug right here to if the Lord's calling you to do it, just go. Amen. The Lord will you'll figure it out when you get there. The Lord will show you what to do. And you know, you'll get to a point where you're like, okay, this is what we're doing. And just how cool it is to see if the Lord is there in that place, which to me feels so dark. And if the Lord is with the people of Papua New Guinea and the people who work in that hospital and the people who go to that hospital, how much more is he with us? How is he also with us? And he loves them so deeply, and he loves us so deeply. And so I got nothing else. So thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for financial support. Big shout out to everyone who prayed for me to get home, because that was quite the ordeal, and I got home. Obviously, I'm standing here. So, but really, though, I don't think I could have done the day-to-day without all of your prayers and your help. So thank you so much. I'm going to stop there.
Thank you so much. I can't think of anything more surrendering, anything more Christ-like than to do what Hannah did, to 36 hours on a plane. For some people right there, that's just, we're like, nope. I won't walk 36 seconds across the street. I'm not doing 36 hours on a plane. But I can't think of anything more Christ-like than to surrender like that and to go and love people you don't know, but that God deeply loves. Showing the love of Christ with the goal of sharing the hope of eternity with them. Now here's the cool thing. You can do the very same thing. And God may call you to hop on a plane and go around the world, or he may just ask you to walk across the street or across the cafeteria or across the hall at work or whatever it is. God can use you if you'll fully surrender to him. Our response song is Be Like Him. And I want to pray for us as our worship team comes up. Heavenly Father, would you just join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would help us to be like Jesus. I do pray, Father, that we would tell people about Jesus, that we would teach them to listen to Jesus, but God, I pray that we would be fully surrendered like Jesus. And as we get ready to sing this song, Be Like Him, I want you just to think, just let God speak to you right now. Where is he calling you to respond to him today? What is he calling you to do? For some here today, maybe your response today is that you want to be like Jesus. You want to be fully surrendered to God's plan. Would you just offer that prayer up to him right now? Say, God, I'm ready to be fully surrendered. Maybe there's a specific area you need to surrender. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in your job. Maybe you're graduating. It's in your plans. Maybe there's something he's been speaking to you about and you've been holding back. Would you just say, God, I want to be fully surrendered, just like Jesus. Just tell him that right now. Maybe even in that specific area. In this area of blank, I surrender to your will, God. Take a moment and do that. In this area of blank, I surrender to your will. As we just continue in this time of prayer, maybe there's somebody you know who needs to hear about Jesus. I asked you to write their name down earlier. Would you pray for the opportunity this week to get to tell them about Jesus? Would you do that right now? God, help me tell blank about Jesus this week. Some of y'all, that's really scary, but trust God. Trust him that he'll bless your obedience. God, help me to tell blank about Jesus this week. Finally, maybe there's some here today who need to place their faith in Jesus. Need to do what I did a long time ago. You've been coming to church. You've been doing all the stuff other Christians do. But it's time for you to place your faith in Jesus. Would you do that today? You can do it so easily just by calling out to God. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray a prayer, and you can repeat it along with me. If you're a Christ follower already, would you be praying for the people around you that they would listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting right now and that they would place their faith in Jesus? If you're ready to become a Jesus follower, if you're ready to become a Christian, would you just pray this prayer with me? Just repeat it quietly right there where you are. So you're praying it to God, not to me. God, I know that you love me. Just tell him that. God, I know that you love me. I'm sorry for my sins. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that you raised him back to life. Today I commit my life to following Jesus. I do this by faith, not in myself, but in what Jesus has done for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me new life and eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.